Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side and notice under our Nosei, our topic heading, the following: Hayotze b'tfilin erev Shabbos samuch l'chashecha. One who is, while wearing tefillin, walks outside close to the beginning of Shabbos. So the issue is, should we allow that? Or possibly, like we learned in the Mishnah, lo yetze hachayet b'machat, the chayit should not go out with his needle, samuch l'chashecha. Now the Gemara. Toni debei Rebbe Yishmoel. We have a Tanaic source that was taught in the yeshiva of Rebbe Yishmoel. Yoytze adam betfilin be'erev Shabbos im chashecha. A person is allowed to wear his tefillin up till the beginning of Shabbos, and we're not afraid that he's going to continue wearing them and walking out with them on Shabbos. My taima, well, why are we lenient with regard to the tefillin? And we saw in the Mishnah that with regard to other items, we were not so lenient. So the Gemara answers, and just notice we have a long answer marking, and part of the long answer you'll see a bracketed section, which we will skip initially. The Gemara says, Kevon di Omar Ravo Baravuna. Since Rabbo teaches that a person has to feel or manipulate his tefillin all times, and in the brackets the point is made so that you don't lose awareness, what we call shloya sich daito. So since a person is mimashmesh betfillin, he feels his tefillin every hour an hour, literally, but it means at all times. Skipping the bracketed section, Hilkoch Midkar Dochir Lehu. Therefore, Midkar Dochir, he will remember. The word Dochir, if you take the Dalet of that word and mix and interchange it with a Zayin, you would get the word Zocher, or Zohar is to remember. He will remember. In the brackets, we go back over this piece of Gemara again, and we mentioned that a person is supposed to mimashmish tefillin b'chol shav v'shav. Now the bracketed section, kal v'chomer mitzitz. As through kal v'chomer logic, we conclude this from the tzitz. This is a gold headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, which had the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu on it. Ma tzitz she'ein bo elo azkora achas omro tur v'hoya al mitzchoy tamid. The tzitz had on it only one reference to the Almighty. In other words, only once his name appears on the tzitz. And the pasuk says, it shall be on his forehead forever. And what does that mean, forever? Obviously, he's not going to go to sleep with it. It means, shelo yasich daito mimenu, that he should not lose awareness or concentration on it. He should be aware that he's wearing it at all times. Tfilin, sheyesh ben azkoros harbe. The tefillin which contain in the parchment, in the sections that are within the tefillin boxes on which Torah portions are written, so they have numerous references to the name of Hashem on those passages that are written in the tefillin. So, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so is there the necessity of being aware of the tefillin on you at all times. Hilkoch midkar dochilu, therefore he will remember and not come to walk with the tefillin on Shabbos outdoors, from the house outside. So because of this feature that tefillin have, which is not common to any of the other implements or utensils mentioned in the Mishnah, we don't worry that you'll forget. He's constantly feeling his tefillin, memashmesh b'hu, he's constantly adjusting his tefillin, and hence always has an awareness of them. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, Hananya Omer, chayav adam memashmesh b'vigdoy erev Shabbos im chashecha. A person is supposed to feel his clothing, that there should be nothing wrapped in his clothing, or more common example might be that there should be nothing in his pockets. So he's checking a person has to check his clothing erev Shabbos prior to the onset of Shabbos, so that he doesn't end up walking outside with things in his pockets on Shabbos. Omer of Yosef Hilchso Rabsi Lishabbos. This is an important halacha with regard to Shabbos, to keep a person away from violation. Lo yifala es kelov v'lo yikro lior haner. The Mishnah mentions two activities. One is not to yifala es kelov, it's the removal of lice. And the second one is not to read by candlelight. The Gemara will ask the issue of reading by candlelight, or the issue of candlelight, is that specific to lo yikra, to the prohibition of reading? And as far as lo yifal es kelov, the prohibition of removing the lice, that's not related. In other words, the isur, the prohibition of being mefal es kelov, would even be by day. And the reason for prohibiting that is because you might come to kill the insect. And if you kill the insect, there is an opinion, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that killing a kina is tantamount to killing a camel. In other words, it's considered full-fledged netilas neshama. What is unique about the kina is that it's a creature whose procreation is not obvious to us as coming from a relationship between the two genders, but rather it's a type of spontaneous generation from filth or dirt or feces. Therefore, not all opinions hold that there is a problem or a violation of netilas neshama with regard to the kina. The Gemara, therefore, is going to be asking, and we have a long question marking to indicate the length of the question, and we present the question in two parts. In other words, the two sides of the question. And that is, once again, is it that the Mishnah is featuring two separate Isurim, namely, the Lo Yifala has nothing to do with candlelight, just the reading is prohibited by candlelight. Naturally, to read by day would be no problem, and the issue of the candle is something we may have mentioned in the past, that as the wick burns, it may flicker, and he'll tilt the oil so to create a more even light, or more light, and that's a problem of Havora on Shabbos, of burning things on Shabbos, which is one of the Ovis Malachas. Or possibly, both actions, the Lo Yifala and the Lo Yikra, are associated with the Or Haner. And if that be the case, so then the Mishnah is not looking at the Netilas Neshama aspect of the Kina, because that in and of itself would not be a problem, because that would be in accordance with the Rabbonin, who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. So once again, we have in the Mishnah, it says Lo Yifala is Kelov, and the Lo Yikra the Or Haner. The question is, the Lo'or Haner, is it referring only to the Lo Yikra, or is it referring also to the Lo Yifales Kelov? Let's now see this in the Gemara. Ibaya Laho, Lo Yifale Es Kelov Bayom Shema Yaharoig, skipping the brackets for a moment, V'lo Yikra Lior Haner Shema Yate. Is the Mishnah understood as having two separate Isurim? One, do not engage in lefalois, which is removal of lice, even by day, because of the fear you might come to kill the insect. and do not read Lior Haner by candlelight, because you might come to tilt the candle holder, and which contains the wick and the oil, causing it to burn better. Oy Dilma, or possibly Travaihu Shemo Yate. Both the Lo Yafale and the Lo Yikra are problems related to the candle and not at all related to the possibility of killing the lice. Structurally, we've presented this, as we do many, many times in our Gemara markings throughout the Shas, with an Aleph Oy Dilma Bay structure. You have the first side of the question, and then the O Dilma Bay's the second side of the question. Within the first side of the question, we're presenting the Mishnah as featuring two separate Averis. Lo Yafale, that's related to Shema Yaharog, and Lo Yikra, that's Lior Haner. Now, let's go over the bracketed section in the Gemara, starting again from the number one, Lo Yafale Es Kelov Bayom. The Mishnah is ruling not to remove lice by day, even by day. Shemo Yaharog, you might come to kill it. It's a small insect, and by having it between your fingers and removing it or flicking it off, you might kill it. Rabbi Eliezer he desanya, and the Mishnah would then be in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer that holds Omer Rabbi Eliezer Hahuri Kino B'Shabbes Kilo Huri Gomol, killing a kino, even though it's unique in its in that it comes about through spontaneous generation as opposed to by gender reproduction. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer, who has this strict opinion with harig is a kino, it's like killing a camel. Velo yukul oraner shemo yate. And as far as the oraner halocha, the candlelight issue is restricted to the issue to the activity of reading. Oidilma travayu shemo yate, or possibly the lo yafala and lo yukra are oraner problems, are related to the candle and not. And as far as the lo yafala, has nothing to do with the possibility of killing it, because that wouldn't be a problem, being that it's a product of spontaneous generation. Toshma. So here we have triangles, and they show how these are attempts to resolve the issue. So under our Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara, you see we featured a triangle, and these are Nisyonos these are attempts to resolve the question. Toshma, Ein Polin V'Ein Korin Lior Haner. So the Tanaic source says one doesn't engage in Polin nor engage in reading Lior Haner. So there is a thought that maybe this source is clear to in resolving the question. however, the Gemara feels it's not clear in resolving the question. Mi alimo mi mas nisan. Is this source any stronger, any clearer than the Mishnah? The Mishnah itself said lo yafala es kelov velo yikra lior haner, and we were vague. It was vague there as to what is included in the or haner restriction. This too, it says, mentions two activities, and it concludes with lior haner. So is this any clearer than the Mishnah? Therefore, we go on to another attempt. Toshma, Ein Poilin Lior Haner, V'Ein Korin Lior Haner. Elu min ha'halochot she'omru ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goroin. So here's a Tanaic source that is quite clear, because in featuring the Ein Poilin, it says that it's the problem is Lior Haner, that you... If the problem rises if you would be doing it by candlelight, just like the reading, which we know already is a problem only by candlelight. And the source also tells us the background of when these halachas were established. They were established in the aliyah. Aliyah is an attic or a second story of a house or a building. In the aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goron. Shmamino travayu shemoyate shmamino. We see from here that both the Ein Polin of the Mishnah and the Ein Korin are only related to the fear of tilting the candle, but not a fear involved with killing the kina. Omer Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, he will relate to the Isser of Or Haner, Afilu Lahavchin Ben Big Doi LeBig Dei Ishto. One should not use candlelight even to distinguish between things that are fairly obvious. According to the Tosfos, there might be a different explanation to this, but we're really trying to present the Gemara in its Havamina stage, because you'll see that what we said is actually changed in the course of the Gemara. So you'll see how Omar Rava qualifies what we just said and says, Lo Amoran, the restriction of using the candlelight for clothing distinction is Elo de Bnei Mechuzah. It's only with regard to the clothing of the people of Mechuzah, being that there they are fairly similar. The clothing of the women and the clothing of the men were fairly similar in their dimensions. Avol de Bnei Chaklisa, but the clothing of Bnei Chaklisa, these are people that worked in fields. Chakal in Aramaic is a field, and so you have people involved with agriculture. So those kind of clothing, Meida Yadi, are clearly distinguishable, and therefore you don't really need much light to distinguish between them, and therefore there's no chashash of Shema Yate. Udbenei Mechuzah Nami, which we said was restricted, this also is not always restricted. Lo amon elo dizakenois. To distinguish between the clothing of elderly women and the men, Rashi says the zakenus ktsorim b'miksas v'shel anoshim meunogim rechovim v'doimim zeloze v'gazrinon shemoyate. The style or the cut of the clothing of the elderly people of Mechuzah was of a similar nature, and therefore there is a chashash of shemoyate, of needing more light, and hence maybe tilting the candle. Avol, the Gemara goes on, diyaldois meida yadei. When it comes to the clothing of the young people, so the Rashi says, Avol diyaldois rechovim harbe ve'ein shel anoshim doimin lahen. The younger women's clothing were very much wider than the men's clothing, even in Mechuzah, and therefore it would be okay to try to see the difference between them. You don't really need much light for that. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source. You can see as we go down the Omid, a number of Tanaic sources appear here, all the framed sections. Ein Poilin Birshus HaRabim Mipnei HaKovod. The Rashi points out that this is a reference to something that's not Shabbos related, but even during the weekdays, one should not engage in pulling, removal of lice, in a public area because of dignity, human dignity. Whose dignity are we trying to preserve over here? So Rashi says, Shel Oivrim, the passersby, because it's something that is repels individuals. So one shouldn't engage in repelling type activities in public. Kayotsebo, similarly, Omar Rebbe Yudah, V'Amri Lo Rebbe Nechemya, some versions have Rebbe Nechemya, Ein Oisin Apiktivizim B'Shus Rabim B'Pnei HaKovid. Apiktivizim is vomiting, but it's self-imposed vomiting. One should not engage in that. It is quite disgusting, and one should not do that in public. Now, you might ask, why would someone be involved with apiktivizim in the first place? Let us say that there are explanations. We'll leave that aside for the context of our shiur. Of course, we're not dealing with anything that even comes close to encouraging eating disorders. That's certainly not the case here. But there are other situations of apiktivizim that are mentioned, but they're not to be done in Rishus HaRabim. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamafale is Kelov, someone who's involved with the removal of lice. We're going to see in this source two opinions, the Tanakama and Abba Shol, whose name we have circled. So one who's engaged in that on Shabbos, Molel, Vizorek, Uvavad Shelo Yarog. Molel, it has to do with rolling the lice between your fingers, and you can. And the reason for doing this type of rolling activity weakens them, so that they don't come back. They're weakened and they won't come back to you. And Rashi points out that according to the Tanakhama, you can be molel, but not to do it with too much pressure, because you might kill them. The Tanakhama, though, who allows you to get close to killing them, so to speak, he is allowing you to do melila. He is of the opinion that even if you were to actually kill them, that would be an isur derabbanan. He calls it a shvus, which is another expression for an isur derabbanan. So that you're allowed to be molel, because we're not fearful of the worst case scenario, because the worst case scenario itself is only rabbinic. So the worst case scenario, namely killing it. So as we've learned in previous sugyas, we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. We don't impose a double rabbinic prohibition, so that you're allowed to be molel, just don't with intent kill them, because that is an isur derabbanan. Abba Shol Omer. Abba Shol says, he's more restrictive, and he says, no tail v'zorek uvad shelo yimlo. Pick them off and throw them away, but do not do melila. Don't rub them or roll them between your fingers. Now, Rashi's approach, and Tosfos disagrees with this, but Rashi's approach is that Abba Shol holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that if one were to kill them, there would be a chiyuv chatas. And therefore, he makes a gzera not to do melila, because you might come to kill them. And killing them, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is an isur d'oraisa. So we impose a rabbinic ruling. Don't do melila, because you might come to kill them. As we said, that's Rashi's approach. But Tosfos in Dibur HaMaskil, Noito Vazorek, he disagrees. The Gemara continues. We read Abba Shol that says no to v'zorek uvad shelo yimlo. Omer Ravuna halacha, the Ravuna rules that molel v'zorek, one is allowed to do melila and throw them away. V'zehu kvoidoi, and this is his honor. It's a proper thing to do. V'afilu b'choil, and even during the weekdays. Rabba mekatea lehu. We have a series of names that we've double underlined. These are different rabbinic authorities and how they dealt with the kina. According to Rashi, these rabbis are doing this on Shabbos. According to the Tosfos, he quotes the Riva, who says that this is during the weekdays, and it's referring to coming off of Rav Huna, that says that this is an honorable thing to do during the weekdays. So we will continue right now following Rashi's approach, that says that the names we've double underlined are practicing this on Shabbos. So Rabba mikatea lehu, Rabba would kill them on Shabbos. We're talking about the lice, and of course we're working with the idea that there's no Isur, certainly no Isur Doraisa involved. And Rabba was of the extreme opinion that there's no problem in killing them. We'll see later on that there is a Tanaic opinion, no less than Beis Hillel, that allows this. V'Rav Sheshes Mikatea Lehu. Rav Sheshes would kill them on Shabbos. Rava Shodi Lehu Lekona Demaya. Rava would toss them into a flask of water. Omar Lehu Rav Nachman Lebinse. Rav Nachman would tell his daughters, K'toilin, kill them. Ve'ashme'inon li kola de sanvasi. And let me hear the screams of my enemies. A manner of figure of speech. But as Rashi points out, these are opinions that are saying you can do this on Shabbos. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer Ein Horgin es Hamacholos b'Shabbos Divrei b'Shamai. The Macholos, Rashi says, is a kina. So this first opinion is that of Beis Shammai, as the source says, Divrei Beis Shammai. One is not allowed to kill the kina on Shabbos. Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel allows it, and Rashi quotes the Gemara from the Perek Shmoyne Shrotzim in this Masichta, and he says that the kina, and we've dashed underlined this three lines from the bottom so you can spot it quickly. Rashi says, V'kina eino poro v'rova elo mi besar odom hi shoretzitz. It doesn't go through standard procreation of the male and female uniting to produce this offspring. Ela mipsar odom mishretzes. Rather, it comes; it's a spontaneous generation from human flesh. The source goes on. V'chein hoyer b'shumalazer omer mishum b'shumamliel. Similarly, Rav Shumalazer said some halachas in the name b'shumamliel. Ein mishadchen es atinoikos. One is not supposed to speak about making, let's say, arrangements for a marriage between children on Shabbos, and specifically a father of a girl is not supposed to make mention of what he is going to be offering toward her marriage with a young man. This should not be done on Shabbos because of a pasuk in the Nevi'im that says Mamtso Chafotzecha, that one should not engage in business deals or commercial activities on Shabbos, including marriage arrangements. So Ein Meshadchen Es Atinokus L'Oreis. L'Oreis is to the first stage of marriage. V'lo Es Atinok L'Lamdo Sefer, nor to speak about hiring someone to teach his child. L'lamda umnus, nor to teach him a trade. The ein menachamin avelim, one is not to engage in visiting the mourners, comforting mourners on Shabbos. Vein mevakun choylin b'Shabbos, nor is one to visit the sick on Shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai. All of these restrictions were in the name of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel allows all of these activities. And the reason for that is, and especially the case of the Meshachin Tinoikos and Tinoik Lamda Sefer on the Umnis, these are considered mitzvos. And even though you may be discussing monetary matters and commitments, since they are mitzvah related, they are allowed. Tanu Rabbanan Hanichnas Levakir Esachila. One who enters the room where there is an infirmed individual, and you'll see from the context of this source we're talking about someone who goes in to visit the sick on Shabbos, what should he say? So one says, Shabbos hi milizoik urfua krovo lovo. He reminds the individual that it's Shabbos, and therefore it's not a time for lizok, is to cry out in prayer, in supplication and beseeching. But the hope is that refuah, that health is nearby. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yecholo hi shetarachim. If one honors the Shabbos and doesn't, and part of honoring the Shabbos is the not to experience pain or tsar, as Rashi says, one who controls himself and doesn't engage in the feeling of remorse on Shabbos. So then Shabbos has the power, through of course the Almighty, of arousing mercy. Rebbe Yehuda, at the top of Omid Beis, we continue in this Tanaic source dealing with Mevakrim Esacholim Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamokum Yerachem Olecha V'Alcholi Yisrael. one should say that the Almighty should have mercy on you and all other infirmed Jews. Rashi points out that by including others in your prayer, so in the merit of the public, it has a greater chance of being heard. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Hamokom Yerachem Olecha Besoch Chole Yisrael. His text is a bit different, but it's the same general idea that the Almighty should have compassion with you for you amongst the other individuals. Truth is that we should correct ourselves. The Rashi that we mentioned is really going on Rabbi Yossi, who has the sick person included amongst the other sick individuals, whereas Rabbi Yehuda at the top line had the sick person mentioned separately. So that this idea of being involved or included with the others increases the merit that one may arouse for compassion. Shevno Ish Yerushalayim. Shevno, a name of a person. Rashi says Odom Godol HaYerushalayim was a great man in Yerushalayim. B'knisaso Omer, upon entering the room, he would say Shalom. Ubitzioso Omer Shabbos himi lizok ukfua kroy velovo v'rachmov meruben v'shabato v'shalom. The Rashi says Shiftu b'shalom, nochu b'shabatchem l'shalom, to rest on Shabbos in Shalom. We don't want to translate this into English and say rest in peace, because that would have quite a negative connotation. Keman azla hodi omar Rabbi Chanina. We have a couple of triangles here to highlight statements of Rabbi Chanina. We want to know, based on whom does the following text go? In other words, he's an Amora, and he says regarding the prayers over the sick, he has a suggested text, and we want to know which of the Tanoim would be the basis for Rabbi Chanina. So he says, when you visit the sick, or Mishi Yeshlo Chole B'soch Beiso, one who has an infirmed individual in his household, Tzorech She'arvenu B'soch Chole Yisrael, in praying for him, he should include him in the midst of the other infirmed Jews. So that's Rabbi Chanina's opinion. Keman, well, based on which Tanaic authority is this? Well, you guessed it, because you can see the arrows that we have to the side of the immediate right hand side of the Moral text, aligning Rabbi Chanina's statement with the text of Rabbi Yossi above. So the Gemara answers, Ki Rabbi Yossi, that this text of Rabbi Chanina conforms to Rabbi Yossi's approach. The Omar Rabbi Chanina, B'koshi hetiru l'nachem avein l'vakuchem b'shabbos. It's only with difficulty did the Rabbonon allow the visiting of the sick and comforting mourners on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because these create tsa'ar, and Shabbos is a day that one is not supposed to be in a state of tsa'ar, a state of pain and remorse and consternation. Omar Rabo Bar Chana ki have azlinon basreder belozer l'shuli b'tficha. When we would follow Rabbi Lozer to visit the sick, that's l'shuli b'tficha, means literally to ask of the sick, but it's to visit the sick, to offer them support. Zimnin Omar, sometimes he would say hamokom yifakticha l'shalom v'zimnin Omar Rachmona Yad Kirinoch Lishalam. The first is a Hebrew expression, and the second is in Aramaic, which basically means that the Almighty should remember you and grant you peace. The Gemara now asks on the second language, the second Loshon here of the Aramaic version, Hechi Ovid Hochi. How could he do this? We have a question that lasts a number of lines. You can see we've noted this as a long question to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. the question is going involves the issue of prayer in Aramaic. So how could he do this? V'homar of Yehuda, v'olom al yishal olam tzrocha b'loshan Arami. A person should not make his requests in prayer in Aramaic. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol hashel tzrocha b'loshan Arami, ein malachi hashoris niskokin lo. Anyone who makes his requests, his prayers in Aramaic, so the angels do not deal with him. She'ein malachi hashoris makirin b'loshan Arami. The service angels don't recognize this language. Rabbi Hanina was wasting his time by saying Rachmono Yad Karinoch Lishlam. The Gemara answers he wasn't wasting his time. Shaini Chola, the case of the Chola of the infirmed individual is different. The Shechino Imoi, the Omer of Ono, the Shechino means the divine presence is there, thereby circumventing or alleviating the need for the service angels in conveying the prayer. The Omer of Ono and Omer of Minayin Shishchino So'ed Es Hachola. From where do we know that the divine presence supports the infirmed? Shnemar Hashem Yisodenu Al Eres Divai. Eres Divai. Eres is a bed. Divai is of woe. That the Almighty supports the person in his state of sickness. Tanyo Nami Hachi. A Tanaic source that supports the idea that the Shechina is there. Hanichnas levakas acholah. These are going to be additional rules regarding the visiting of the sick. And even though it's not directly related to the issue of praying in Aramaic, nevertheless, the idea of the divine presence there is going to be conveyed. So one who visits the sick, lo yeshev lo agabi mita v'lo agabi kisei. The visitor should not sit on a mita, on a bed, and not on a chair, elo misatef v'yoshev lefonov, but rather he should cloak himself. Rashi points out this idea of cloaking oneself or wrapping oneself, may emas shechino, because of the fear of the divine presence, ka'odam ha'yoshev ve'emo, as a person who is sitting in a state of fear, the ein pone l'sodim, doesn't turn to the sides, doesn't look to his right nor his left, but is concentrated on his state of mind of fear and seriousness, because he's in the presence of the divine of the divine Shechina. By the way, this idea of Misatef being associated with Me'emas Shechina, we saw in the case of when does the judicial process Me'emas Tchilas Din, back on Daf Yud Omer Aleph. So one is supposed to be present, like we just described, and all of this is because the divine presence is above the head of the sick person. Shenemar Hashem Yisodenu Al Eres Divai, as we saw above. The idea of not sitting on the bed or on the chair is a question here of not to be sitting at a position higher than that of the individual who is sick. The Omar Rava Omar Ravin Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zonas Al Kechila. From where do we know that the Almighty sustains the sick individual? Shnemar Hashem Yisodenu Al Eres Devoy. The same pasuk here is quoted for the third time. V'lo yikro li'or haner. Omar Rava, afilu gavoa shtei komos, v'afilu shtei mardos, v'afilu asora botim zu al gav zu. Rava presents us with a classic low plug situation. Low plug means a ruling without distinctions, without differentiation. When the Rabbanan said not to use candlelight, and the thinking was not to use candlelight for reading because you might come to tinker around with the candle, adjusting the tilting it so that there would be increased oil flow to the wick, creating more light. This prohibition extends even when that possibility doesn't exist. In other words, like Rava says here, even if it's gavoa shtei komos, even if it's two stories above you, even if it's two mardeos. So mardas is a long stick that has a prong at the tip. If it's used for hitting oxen in their plowing, but it's an example of something that has a significant amount of height. So even if it's shtei mardeos above you, it's far away, it's out of reach. And the last expression is even more extreme. Even 10 houses, a 10-story building, even if the candle is way up there, don't stand and try to read by its light. The Gemara continues with details concerning the reading by candlelight. Chad hu delo likri. What's implied is that if it's one person, so he shouldn't read by himself by the candlelight. Ha trei shapir domi. But if there would be two people there, so one will keep his eye on the other, that if one of them comes to tilt the oil in order to increase the luminescence of the wick, so the other one will remind him. Well, how can that be? V'ha Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that says lo echa v'lo shnayim, that even if there are two, they cannot read by candlelight. Omar Rebbe Elazar, lo kasha. There's no problem here. There's no contradiction. Kan b'inyan echad, kan b'shnei inyonim. If the two of them are reading the same material, imagine a Torah scroll that's open and has several columns, and they're both peering onto the same column. That would be called inyan echad. So that would be allowed because they're both focusing on the same material, so that if one comes to maneuver the candle, the other one will catch him. However, when you have them both reading from separate columns, so each one is involved with his own reading material, and therefore he's not going to pay attention and won't recognize the movement of his friend. Omar Ravuna, u b'medura afilu asara b'nei adam oser. If you're dealing with a bonfire, medura is a large fire, and people are sitting at some distance from one another because of the intensity of the heat. One is not going to pay attention to what the other fellow is doing. And people might come to stoke the coals, and you don't have the protection or the supervision of your friend because they're sitting at a distance from one another. So then, even if you have 10 people there, we're not going to allow sitting around a bonfire and reading on Shabbos. Omar Rava, im odom choshev hu, mutter. If the person reading by candlelight is a man of distinction, then a distinguished individual, an important individual, it's okay for him to read by candlelight because it's not the way of distinguished individuals to fuss with candles. Meisve, we raise a Tanaic source which has a story in it featuring Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was a Kohen Gadol, so as far as an Odom Choshev, you can't get two more Choshev than him. And yet you'll see that the problem with regard to reading by the Or HaNer, even with an Odom Choshev, even if it involves an Odom Choshev. Meisve, the source says Lo Yikra Li Or HaNer Shema Yate. One should not read by candlelight because he might come to tilt the wick and the oil with the wick. Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Ani Ekra V'lo Ate. Rabbi Shmuel says, well, you know, I can read and I won't come to tilting it. So there are two versions of how this story unfolds. That's why we have an Aleph over here and a little bit later a Beis. Parmachas Korah, once Rabbi Shmuel was reading by candlelight, Ubikesh Lahatois, and he had an intention to tilt the candle, and he caught himself and didn't do it. But Omar, he then reacted, Kamak Doilim Divrei Chachomim, How great, how thoughtful are the words of the sages who said not to read by Or HaNer. And he, realizing that he almost did it, understood now even better how profound their teaching is. Rabbi Nosson Omer Kar Vahita. Rabbi Nosson has a more extreme end to the story, and that is that Rabbi Shmuel actually was reading and tilted the, he actually tilted it, the Kosav Alpin Kosav, and after having done this of Shabbos violation, of course in an unwitting fashion, the sort of, he did it without thinking, he then wrote on his in his Pinkos, his record book, Ani Yishmo Ben Elisha Karisi Vitesi Ner B'Shabbos. I read by candlelight and I tilted the candle on Shabbos. Shibon the Beis Hamikdash Ovi Chata Shmeino. When the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, I will bring a sin offering, a fat sin offering. Well, you see from here that what Rava said, if he's an Odom Choshev, then he can read Lo HaNer. Here we see quite the contrary. Omar Rabbi Abba, Shaini Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. If your whole question is based on the story involving Shmuel ben Elisha, let it be known that he is different. Hayu Umesim Atzmal Divrei Torah Kehedyon. The story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he was learning Divrei Torah. When he got into learning Torah, he made himself like a commoner. In other words, he stripped himself of all signs of distinction because of his incredible dedication to Torah study. As we would say, he forgot himself. He literally forgot himself. He forgot who he was, and all signs of distinction and reticence and distance falls away, and therefore this is not a challenge to Rava's ruling, because Rava's ruling stands, holding that if it's a man of distinction, so then it's mutter, because a man of distinction won't tilt candles. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, in the context of Torah learning, is not an example of a man of distinction, being that he on his own strips himself of all signs of that. Tony Chada. We continue with the general topic of Or HaNer. We have two Tanaic sources, and we've numbered them 1 and 2. The first source says, Shamash Boide Kaisu Sukoros Lior HaNer. The waiter, butler, can check out the cups and bowls at with candlelight. He's checking them to make sure that they're clean, that there's no debris left on them before serving his balabayas. V'tanya idach. Another source says lo yivdok. The shamosh, the waiter, the servant, should not check by candlelight. So they seem to be contradictory sources. Loi kasha. No contradiction. Now, marking wise, we've broken this piece of Gemara down into Roman numeral 1 and 2. There are two approaches. But within each approach, we have to explain what each source is talking about. So for that, we'll be using a regular numbering to identify which source is being featured. So the first resolution is Kan B'Shamash Kavua, Kan B'Shamash Sheino Kavua. This, by the way, is explained by Rashi, that the Shamash Kavua means the regular or the permanent waiter. He should not check Lior HaNer, and the Rashi explains Shamash Kavua lo yivdok, but they she'emas raboy olav. The fear of his master is upon him. Imyimtzba and dover meguna. If some debris, something dover meguna, something disgusting would be found left in the cups or on the bowls, so the fear of the reaction of the balabayas is upon this shamash, who's the fixed shamash, and therefore bodken yofa, he will take extra precautions in his checking, and the chayshinun lehatoya, because of his exceptional diligence or necessary diligence he will even come to tilt a candle because of his fear of the reaction of the Balabayas. So that would be source 2 that said lo yivdok. That's why we have a little 2 above the word kan. And now kan, we have a little 1, because source 1 that says he can check it, that's bishamash she'eno kavua. He's temporary help. Rashi on this she'eno kavua, lo ramyo ole kulehai. He doesn't place upon himself such concern as we saw in the case of the shamash kavua. The Gemara continues, Viboy Sema, a second approach, and that's why we have a Roman number 2, Havaha b'shamash kavua. Both of the sources are referring to a shamash kavua. We should point out that Rabbeinu Tam, who's in the Banam Tosfos, has a different girsa in this Gemara. Mirtz Hashem and our Tosfos here will touch on that. But in the meantime, the Iboy Seimos, the other approach, some want to say that both sources are talking about a permanent shamash. That's the shamash kavua, the lo kashya, ha b'demashcha, the ha b'denefta. The difference between the two sources is the fuel used for the candles. If it's mashcha, if it's oil, as opposed to neft, kerosene possibly, neft is an odoriferous substance, and therefore he won't handle it. The shamash won't handle it, and therefore there's no fear of his coming to tilting it. So that you can have a shamash kavua, even though he's a shamash kavua, but since the fuel, the nature of the type of fuel, it acts as a deterrent to tilting, so there's no fear, and he can use that type of candlelight. But mashchos, other oils that are not odoriferous, there is the fear because we're dealing with a shamash kavua. Ibaya laho, shamash she'eno kavua. The Gemara asks a question concerning the non-permanent shamash. We saw before that the non-permanent shamash was allowed, and under the answer Roman numeral number 1, shamash she'eno kavua was a reason for leniency. But here the Gemara is asking regarding the shamash she'eno kavua, which there was which had been mentioned earlier, b'demashcha mahu. Now the Tosfos explains that this question is based on the second lashon. And it's a very appropriate point that Tosfos is making, because according to the first lashon, there would seem to be no room for this question, because the shamash she'eno kavua was, according to the first lashon, already presented as someone who is allowed. But according to the second lashon, where both sources are dealing with the shamash kavua, we don't know any information about the shamash she'eno kavua. So regarding the shamash she'eno kavua, what would be the din if it's b'mashcha? Now, the logic would tell you that shamash she'eno kavua is reason for leniency. However, the mashcha is a type of fuel for the candle which does not deter. Omar Rav. So Rav answers, and we have a double underline to highlight the different approaches to this legal decision. Rav says, halacha v'ein morin kain. It's mutter, but we don't publicize it as a halachic ruling publicly. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Omar halacha u'morin kain. It's mutter, and you can publicize it as well. Rav's feeling of ein morin kain, Rashi says, shelo yizalzalu. If you make it public, people will treat these things too lightly. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba iklo lebei Rav Asi. Rabbi Yirmiya visited Rav Asi. Kom shamei. The shamash of Rabbi Yirmiya got up, and he is considered as shamash she'eno kavua in the house of the host. So he served but he was being that we're in a visiting situation, he's not considered a shamash kavu under these circumstances. And he acted as the butler or the waiter in the house of Rav Asi. Kabodik linahora deshraga, and he checked the utensils with candlelight. In other words, in candlelight he checked, and it was on Shabbos. Omro le devisu, the wife of Rav Asi, the wife of the host, said, Umorlo avin hachi, you don't practice this. In other words, you wouldn't allow a shamash to check the utensils or with candlelight. Omar lo, so Rav Asi answered his wife, Shavke, leave him be, leave the servant alone, Kirabe Svirale. He holds like his master, like Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said, Halacha Umorin Kane, when you're dealing with a Shamash She'eno Kavua. B'emes Omru, Hachazon Roya Eichon Atinoikis Karin, Avalahu Lo Yikra. The Gemara asks, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, contrasting this statement in the Mishnah that we just read with that which was mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, there would seem to be a contradiction. V'amis Reisha Roya, is it not so that in the Reisha of the Mishnah it says that he can be Roya, means he can look, my lav, likros, does that not mean he looks into using the candlelight in order to read? And yet here it says he can see where the children are reading, but he should not read. The Reisha, though, would suggest he can read. So the Gemara answer is lo. When it says in the Reisha Roya, it's Lesader Roshe Parshiyosov. Rashi says, Roshe Parshiyosov, Umuritzon Befiv, he goes over the beginning of the Torah section, Shemitosh Shirosha Parsha Shigur Befiv. At that point that he has gained fluency in the beginning of the parsha, Hu Nizkar Bekula Lemochar, he will recount all of it the next day. Umasaya es Shiva Hakoran Benekuda Utaimeo Balachashin. This chazan, he stood by the ones who got their aliyahs in the days of the Gemara, and even to this day in certain Taimani communities. The person who gets his aliyah, he reads the Torah. So you have this man, this chazon, who would stand by the side to help them along. And the Mishnah was telling us that he can see, he can look into the Torah Friday night, this chazon, but not for the purpose of reading the entire section, just glancing at the beginning of the section, and that refreshing will be helpful for his recounting, remembering the entire section the next day. V'chein Omar Rabo Bar Shmuel Avol Misaderhu Roshe Parshiyosav. And thusly, Rabo Bar Shmuel also explained. The Gemara asks, V'kula Parsha Lo. And are we to understand then that the chazan cannot read through the entire parsha with candlelight? The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yud Gimel, Meisvei. We raise a Tanaic source as a question. Rav Shimon Gamal Omer, Hatinoikis Shel Beis Rabon, Hoyu Mesadrin Parshiyosov, V'korin Lior Haner. So here it says that they would read by candlelight, which would indicate they're not just Roshei Parshiyosav, but the entire Parsha. The Gemara answers, Ivo Yisema Roshei Parshiyosav, when it says here, Kurin Leoranir, it would mean just the beginning of the Parsha, just begin a section. Ivo Yisema Shaini Tinoikos, another approach to this source, the source is not a question at all, because it's dealing with the children. And the children are the ones sitting and reading the entire Parsha, but they won't touch the candles, they won't make a move. Hoyo v'emas rabon alehen lo osi la'atzluye. Since the fear of their teacher is upon them, they won't come to atzluyes to tilt the candle. So that when you're dealing with the tinoikis shel beis rabon, there we have no objection to their reading, even if it be the entire Parsha Lior Haner. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.